Simon Meir lived in Dorohoi. Emiko Saltzman spent a couple of afternoons with him in the summer of 2006. Simon, who was then 80 years old, had recently stepped down as president of the Jewish community, and he not only paints quite a picture of growing up in pre-war Dorohoi, but during the Second World War, Simon and his family were deported by the Romanian army to the dreaded region known as Transnistria, where thousands of Jews perished from starvation and by being shot. Steve First in London reads his story for us.
Our parents lived in the countryside, and we, the children, lived in Dorohoi from the age of five. We lived with our mother's sister, Rula Butnaru, who was a widow and looked after all four of us boys. She told our mother, "Listen, Foig," that was my mother's name in Yiddish, "send those rascals here, bring them to live with me, so they can study in the Talmud Torah and go to a Jewish school and learn a trade." Well, she was right, of course. What could we have learned in a village? I came to Dorohoi in 1932, and I went to the countryside only during school holidays. And even then, I didn't spend much time at home. I wandered the hills and the forests. I frolicked in the streams. I liked to take the herd to graze, and I went with girls and boys to the pasture, where we took our cattle and sheep, where we would lie under the sun. Every few weeks, mother came to Dorohoi by cart to buy supplies for their store, but she would come by to see us, and she brought masses of food she prepared for us. Why, what do you think we lived on here? How do you think our poor aunt could feed us, four hungry, growing boys? Our parents provided us with everything. Clothing, shoes, notebooks, and food, while Aunt Rule took care of us. As for languages, we spoke only Romanian in our parents' house, because if you live in the countryside with almost no Jews, who do you speak Yiddish with? My aunt, though, she spoke to me in Yiddish, and I just answered in Romanian. We had good Jewish schools, and a lot of them. I mean, there were around 8,000 Jews in Dorohoi, maybe more. That was at least half the population. And we had four Talmud Torahs for younger kids, then the Jewish school, and 24 synagogues. 24! Our father took us to the merchant synagogue, and each trade, each guild, had its own synagogue. There was the shoemaker synagogue, the tailor synagogue, the carpenter synagogue. Cabmen and cart drivers had their own synagogue too. Our fathers bought their seats, but we boys all sat in the middle of the sanctuary around a long table. The women were upstairs. My grandmother was very observant, and so was my aunt. On Friday evenings, they set the table, lit the candles. Grandmother used to light 3 and 5 candles, odd numbers. That's how it was done around here. After the prayer was over, the woman who recited the prayer always said the Gitz Shabbos. And after that, we sat down to eat. Our grandmother took 2 of us boys, our aunt fed another 2. We pleased everybody that way. It was really something to observe Dorohoi on weekends. From Friday evening until Saturday night, most Jews didn't dare light the fire. A Shabbos goy did that for you. And in a town like Dorohoi, there was practically a Shabbos goy on every street. We used Gita, who we all liked, and he serviced all the families on Spiru Harit Street. When the Legionnaires came to power, Romania's own fascists, they drove the Jews away from the countryside. Our father told me that the peasants in his village came to him and said, "Listen, you don't move from here. Should someone lay a finger on you, we'll cut their throat." Father told me that hundreds of villagers gathered around my parents' house. Okay, maybe it was only a few dozen or even less, but still, it's impressive. But in the end, my parents were scared and they finally came to Dorohoi. It would not end well for them. And from here, they left with us to Transnistria on November the 11th, 1941. My parents, my aunt, the boys, we packed everything, took a cart and went to the station. We were told by the Romanian police to leave our possessions and we could pick them up in the morning. Well, were you there? As if we ever saw our luggage again. God forbid. I don't even want to remember. We traveled on. It was cold and miserable, and we crossed the Dniestrom ferries. Many of the older people, poor souls, even fell in the Dniester. That's how crowded we were. We came upon the town of Mogilev on the other bank of the river, and they lodged us in a former army building, where we stayed for several days and nights. As long as we stayed in Mogilev in the army building, we were guarded by the Romanian army, and peasants came and brought us some bread, and we children would sneak out to get things. I was 15 by then. From there to the Bug River, farther still, made us fall into a column, and we walked on day and night. The elderly, who couldn't walk anymore, sat down by the side of the road near the ditch. They shot them with their machine guns right there on the spot. They left us somewhere before reaching the River Bug. 500 Jews remained in a town called Shargorod, and we were among them. In Shargorod, they put us in abandoned houses, and that's how we passed the winter. We were around 4 to 5 families huddled together in a large room. We stayed on the floor with straws scattered around in the dirt. Cold. No, it was freezing. Miserable. I remember the Jewish community organized help for everyone there. There were more than 20 doctors who tried to help, but around half of them died of typhus. Typhus and lice. These killed people by the thousands. There were carts provided by the town hall of Shargorod, which carried away the dead and took them to the cemetery and dumped them in a mass grave. Who went to that mass grave? First, our mother, in January 1942. And then our father followed her. Where could one get food? I went begging. The Romanian army was there, guarding us to make sure we didn't leave the city, but we children used to sneak out and went into the villages. You think I didn't get caught? There were around 5 of us, 5 boys, walking across the fields begging for food. Once a soldier stopped us, and he was ready to shoot. "Where are you from?" he yelled at us. I blurted out, "Dorohoi, sir." And he said, "Well, so am I." And he reached into his backpack, handed us a loaf of bread, and told us to scram. Believe me, meeting someone like that was rare. We spent months in brutal forced labor, building roads and digging up peat. God for the Ukrainians who ran a canteen for the Romanian army. They fed us. They saved us. I worked in Tulchin until September 1943, and by this time, the Soviet army was marching west and south. After Germany's defeat at Stalingrad in January 1942, the Romanians, who had been so brutal to Jews, now saw the tide had turned, and sometimes they actually began helping us. They released us from forced labor, and I found my brothers and my aunt, and we were all on a train to Dorohoi. We arrived on Christmas Day, 25th of December. The Jewish Federation in Bucharest had sent us food, clothing. They gave us clothes to wear. I remember I wore a pair of pants made from burlap. The 4 brothers and our aunt, we found her house almost completely stripped of everything, but we managed to start rebuilding it. Did we have a choice? Well, my brothers, my sister, and even my aunt did have a choice, because it wasn't long before they all left for Israel. Not long after it was founded in 1948. I didn't leave. I didn't want to go to Israel. I joined the Communist Party in 1947, and so where should we party members go? To a capitalist country? I started my life as a dye engineer, and I began to have a social life. So did everyone else, of course. There was a large hall at the Jewish school, and that's where they organized dances every Saturday evening. That's where I met my wife Letty, and we married in 1950. Soon we had two sons, and although we did not show our Judaism outside of the house, my wife had always been observant, and we raised our sons accordingly, from their childhood to their bar mitzvahs. Letty still lights the candles on Friday evening to this day. Sabbath is the Sabbath, and holidays are holidays, with no exceptions. We no longer have our own Seder at home for Passover, which we always enjoy doing with the boys. Now we go to the Jewish community canteen. Here in Dorohoy, we kept things going for a long time, well into the 1990s. We still had a functioning kosher canteen. We held services, and children could learn Hebrew. But one after another, our leaders joined their own children in Israel. And Rabbi Wasserman was the very last. Hasn't been a rabbi here for decades now. But there are, around 40 of us. I was the president of the Jewish community in Dorohoy for 7 years, from 1998 until December 2005. And now that I have just stepped down, I could spend a couple of mornings telling you my story. And you will stay for lunch, of course. What, do you think Letty would let you go without lunch? Then we can take a walk in the park.
His story is read for us by Steve First in London,